When President Trump was elected, many in the science community worried that science could suffer. Some turned to Canadian colleagues for advice on how to respond, and even for help in backing up government-held databases. Why Canadian scientists? Well, because they had just come through several years of cuts to science funding and even restrictions on scientists' ability to speak to the public under Prime Minister Stephen Harper. John Dupuis is science librarian at York University in Toronto, author of the Confessions of a Science Librarian blog, where he has chronicled the science policies of first the Harper and now the Trump administrations. John, good to have you back on the show.
Great to be back.
You have called Stephen Harper's policies a war on science. Refresh our memories. What happened under Canada's previous prime minister?
It was kind of a long and drawn out war on science. You know, in particular, the Harper government kind of saw themselves as the kind of government that really supports resource development. So the kinds of things we saw were related to that. We saw massive cuts in environmental science. We saw the muzzling of scientists of government scientists who wanted to talk about their environmentally themed research. You know, we saw kind of a flat funding of generally government and government-funded science. We saw the money that was dedicated to government science or government-funded science have a tendency more towards earmarked and encumbered research, industrial partnerships and that sort of thing, as opposed to the granting council peer-reviewed style research that university and institutional researchers prefer.
It's been about 2.5 years since Stephen Harper left office. We spoke to you about a year ago, and you were kind of warning that there could be a hangover effect, that it might take a while, in particular for the culture of science to rebound after a period of scientists feeling like they were under attack. And now this new survey has come out of more than 16,000 federal Canadian scientists, and more than half of them say that they still don't feel like they can speak freely to the media. Now, that's down from 90% about 5 years ago, but are you surprised that it's not lower than that, that most scientists in Canada don't now feel free to speak to the public and speak to the media?
I'm actually not surprised at all. I'm actually very pleased that it's gone from 90% to 50%. And in part, I think there's a couple of things that are in play here. I think we're starting to get to the stage where a lot of these scientists may be freer than they feel that they are. So in other words, they may feel that someone's looking over the shoulder, but perhaps not as much as they fear. The other thing that's playing into this is, again, related to culture. What happened during the Harper era was in, you know, Environment Canada and these other kinds of federal science-themed departments. While they were firing scientists, they were hiring communications flacks. And so they were building up this kind of bureaucracy and infrastructure to keep scientists from speaking to the public. That became the culture. That became, you know, there was just people there in place, and that was their job. And that's hard to fix. You know, you can't change the way people think about their jobs. Hopefully by the end of a 3 or 4 year period, we'll be back to where it was back in seemed to be the good old days.
And yet, I mean, one of the first actions that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau took when he came into office was to reverse those Harper-era policies. And, one of his ministers of science made this public announcement. Scientists are now free to speak to the public, to the media, without any manager or supervisor approval. What else could the Trudeau administration possibly do to try to foster this more open culture of science and reverse some of what took place during the Harper era?
That's a tough one, because I guess from that top-down point of view, you're right. There probably isn't that much more that they could do. Certainly, they could reinforce those messages. Certainly, in the hiring, the internal hiring that goes forward, they could hire people that have a more open-minded and welcoming view to journalists. Certainly they could, you know, in terms of their own internal reward and praise structures, to the extent those kinds of things exist, they could make it clear that people that speak to the press and share their research, that they're not punished, that in fact they're rewarded and praised for that. But again, I think that kind of cultural change just takes time. In so many things in life, you can break something really quickly and really easily, which is what the Harper people did, right? They broke Canadian science very quickly and very easily, but rebuilding is slow.
I'm talking with science librarian and blogger John Dupuy of York University. Let's talk about some good news for the Canadian science community. The new budget that has come out includes a little over $3 billion U.S., that's about $4 billion Canadian, largely going to the federal funding agencies, not really earmarked for specific projects. What's the significance of this funding increase?
Well, it's not quite what the Canadian science community was hoping for. You know, there was this Naylor report that came out about a year ago that was a fundamental science review that it was asked for by the Canadian the science minister in Canada, Christy Duncan. And so there was a lot of things that were asked for in that report, and the science community didn't get everything. But the fact that there was that, you know, in particular for the granting councils, it was about $925 million over 5 years. That was considered a very, very healthy first step, right? An incredibly positive signal to the community that their needs were being heeded. And in particular, a lot of the focus on supporting early career researchers and support for diversity and equity amongst funding recipients were also seen as very, very positive signs. And there was a lot of positive signs in the budget for science. National Research Council, kind of a refocus on research as opposed to being the concierge to industry that the Harper government had kind of pushed them towards. There was a lot of very positive signs.
Balancing that out, though, there were a few conspicuous programs that didn't necessarily show up in the budget. And one of those would be renewed funding for the Climate Change and Atmospheric Research Program. This made international headlines several years ago under the Harper administration when funding lapsed and the program of Arctic research in particular shut down. I mean, this has international ramifications because there are teams of researchers from all over the world that are kind of contributing and working with this program. So what does the fact that renewed funding is not in this budget mean for that program?
Well, the PEARL program, the Polar Environment Arctic Research Lab, that's, again, like you say, one of those things that is a bit disappointing. Their funding was coming up for renewal in the fall. It did get renewed up until 2019, but there's no guarantee of a renewal beyond that point. And I think part of the frustration here is again, yes, this is recognized as being something that's incredibly important nationally and internationally, and no one can really understand why they just won't make a long-term commitment. Those kinds of labs and those kinds of projects function the best when they're able to operate with long-term commitments and be able to plan their projects and their research, you know, over, you know, more than 1 year at a time. And that makes it just really difficult for the people that are working there.
What sorts of lessons or takeaways do you think that U.S. scientists, and for that matter, concerned U.S. citizens, should be taking away from this story and what's happening in Canada right now?
Well, I guess the main thing that I would say is to be vigilant, because, like I said, it's surprisingly easy to break things, and it's long, hard, and expensive to fix them again. Be careful what you lose. On the other hand, I would say that the experience that we saw in the 2015 election was that science was a real issue It ended up being something that connected with citizens, with voters, and was not a decisive issue in the election, but an important one. And I think if people are able to keep issues around science and the environment and climate change in the news and in front of people's eyeballs, it can be a significant force in an election, in particular to mobilizing people that might have felt left out or had not voted previously to get involved. And we saw that a lot in Canada in 2015 with the youth vote. Substantially more young people voted for Trudeau. That was a really decisive thing for him. And issues around climate and the environment are hugely important to youth.
That's John Dupuy. He is science librarian at York University in Toronto and author of the Confessions of a Science Librarian blog, where he has chronicled the science policies first of Prime Minister Stephen Harper and now President Trump. John, thanks so much.
You're welcome. It's always a pleasure.
Up next, how modern genetics is changing the way we define disease. Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.